5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And then writing about it beautifully.
Oh, in his Japanese... Oh gosh, you're getting dripped on. We did try and do that before. I did say it was refreshments were included.
Good stuff.
Harry Haddon Payton, thank you very much.
Well, what a pleasure to be here.
It is so lovely to welcome you to the garden. You are, well, I know everybody says it, but you're probably the poshest person I know. And so I did want to make sure that
not
I brought
even
you
fighting
on a beautiful... You're not even fighting.
Yeah, why?
At
this stage.
But, of course, people may well recognise you for many things, including playing Bertie Pelham in the Posher Show on TV and in film, Downton Abbey.
Is it posher than The Crown?
Which you're also in.
Yeah. Right, that's it. The double.
Yeah. That is, you really aced it in terms of posh things.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the poshest one to do?
I think The Crown felt pretty... can you get posher than The Queen? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that felt posher.
More posh than the late Dame Maggie Smith.
She's not posh. She could do it.
Yeah.
But she wasn't posh.
I always loved her interactions and her stories about Kenneth Williams, who, surprise, surprise, I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
And how they were both... They both sort of came from London. They talk like that all the time.
And she learned how to speak like him. She learned from him how to speak, basically. I've seen a video about that.
Yes, she's...
here we go. Yeah. The eye rolls and the... It's similar, isn't it?
Very similar. And you can see there is that sort of campness.
Yeah.
Which kind of is, to my mind, I've always enjoyed camp things. Again, Kelsey Priest.
Well, guilty, yeah.
Guilty. Who doesn't love it?
Yeah, I love it.
And therefore... that kind of sense of attempted social betterment that's incorporated into a lot of camp stuff of like, oh no, I'd never go. Oh no, we'd never go there. Yeah. Oh, have you seen that woman down the road?
We're going to do it like that. Yeah.
So I always enjoy her kind of.
She was
ordinary.
Amazing. She was amazing. And she was an actress above anything. You know, she was really into the work.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Isn't it for you guys? You can't. Piss around in the background.
Well, yeah, we could, because you might not hear it. But she was great. And at the end of the day, she wanted to do a good job.
Yeah,
she was brilliant. She was terrifying, but she was brilliant.
Oh, she was still terrifying. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I think you'd want her to be.
Want her to be a bit scary. My first scene with her, I think, was in Downton. We were. I just got married. We were leaving the house. We were going through the hall. Hundreds of people in the hall.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Lady Edith. We're off to get our car and go on honeymoon.
Yes.
And the director says, right, let's just come down the steps, walk through, say goodbye to everyone, and off you go. So I came down the steps, and I did it. It was all a bit of a whirlwind. And then Hugh Bonneville comes over, and he says, Harry, I think you better take Maggie in.
Oh, did
what
I?
Did I? He said, yeah, I know you're getting the look.
What does that mean?
I had no idea. I'd love to see the look I was getting.
Mm.
But I think I had completely blanked her, or I had not made a big.
Oh,
I think of her.
Making yourself.
That's her.
That'll be Maggie.
Sorry, Mag. I went straight up to her and I was like, I was really flustered because we hadn't done any scenes together. I didn't know what our relationship would be, and she went straight into, well, I think Bertie and. You know, they'd get on really well. And
yes.
Of course they get on really well. So we...
You didn't go like, you didn't disagree with her.
I think he's a bit miffed at something she said earlier and he's ignoring it. No. We got on just fine.
Fine. After that...
And after that, we did the scene and it was great and it was wonderful. But I...
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
She didn't want to be ignored, I suppose. Didn't want to be...
No, exactly. Mm. Yeah, she turned up. You know, she was there. She wanted to be on.
Yeah, she's got the hair done. She's got the dress on, the cane in hand.
She walked to her mark.
Yes, she's had to stand there for hours. And you, governor.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Drift straight past her. I can imagine a production like that could be fraught with.
It was pretty fraught. But it was wonderful. And what's great is the final film sort of became like a in memory of her. It became a tribute to her a little bit. She's not in it.
I know. We saw it in Christ.
But she's not there in spirit, isn't good. She? She wasn't cut. Yeah, she just...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it did feel like there's a lot of references to her because I suppose her kind of snobbishness as the Dowager Countess is what we all kind of enjoy the most, I think, isn't it? As I say, that snobbery.
All the good lines. All the great lines. And she's then divvied up in the last film. It was slightly scattered to people. You can have one. Yeah.
Yes, I was intrigued to see if they'd bring in another elderly actress to sort of replace that, but I suppose nobody would want to do that.
Simon Russell Beale, but I don't think he'd mind me.
Oh, yes, that's true. Now you say it, that makes perfect sense.
Wonderful, yeah.
Wonderful times. Wonderful times. No, we went to see it at the Everyman in London Bridge, actually. And
was it well attended?
It was. We were the first people to see it.
Oh,
we went in at 1 o'clock, yes.
Amazing.
I wore a hat.
I was going to say, were you...
Who let the dogs out?
She is again.
Yes, that's
really
all.
Making wants us to move on.
That's Simon Russell Beale. Yeah. If that is her, I imagine that's her going. Please,
back to me.
Don't start talking about Simon Russell Beale, please. Yeah, for goodness sake. No, it felt fittingly grand a cinema to go and see.
Yeah, of course.
A very grand film.
Good. You were dressed up.
I wore a hat. Yes, not in the cinema, on the way there.
You're quite right.
Just wore a little. No, a little bit of 1920s.
Is the suit for me? No.
Yes, this is my Downton suit I like to wear.
It's fantastic.
And Alf and I have been to Highclere, actually, a few times. It's quite a place, isn't it?
Yeah. Why did you... Were you super fans or were you...
We were super fans, invited? And Alfie took me for my birthday and it was great. Because everybody goes there to go and look at the Downton stuff.
Yeah.
But they're desperately trying to go on about Tutankhamun.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, they wanted another series probably out of that, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, like, and have you seen our Tutankhamun exhibition? And I made the joke of like, do you need a ticket or can you just Tutankhamun? No one liked it. least of all,
The
Carnarvons.
Lady Caravan, as Maggie called it. Yeah.
Did she call it that?
Yeah.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. I'm getting in trouble for that.
Who's going to mind?
Who's going to mind? Yeah.
But
show some sun, Maggie. Come on, that's a good one.
Yes. Maggie will let us know. She has made it rain again. So, in our little gazebo at the end of the garden. It is a bit like a murder investigation. Sorry about that.
I love it. It's a fantastic garden. Should we get onto the garden?
Well, I suppose we should mention it since it's technically a garden-themed podcast, but I barely talk about it.
Okay.
But go on. What were we going to say?
Well, I want to know. I want to know about it. You moved in end of the pandemic, you were saying.
Yes, end of the pandemic.
Was it like this? Or did
it was
you...
very low maintenance when I moved in.
Yeah.
White hydrangeas along either side, square grass, nothing in the middle of the grass, except the sunken trampoline and some children's play equipment.
That was there already?
Yeah, I didn't put that in.
I was imagining you in your PJs.
I mean, that would be lovely to imagine that I'd arrived.
What this needs.
The thing I've always dreamed of. Yeah. But to be fair, it is a lot of fun.
Oh, I know. I mean, I love a trampoline.
It's a bit like a swimming pool that you don't have to get changed for.
Yeah.
That's how
but
I
it's still
it.
There.
Mm, it's still there. And I do think I should get rid of it, but I haven't yet. It's very classic.
What could replace it?
Well, it's an ongoing discussion. Suggestions so far have been a pond.
Water feature.
Maybe a huge, really grand fountain, actually, Versailles style.
You could do a dug-in hot tub.
Hot tub. A few people have mentioned a hot tub. Okay. Or my least favourite, which is a sunken fire pit, like they might have in Love Island.
Yeah, with little benches around the side.
So Maya Jama could come in.
That's not a runner?
That's not... Yeah, no, that's never really appealed to me. I mean, Maya Jama would be very welcome to come round.
Yeah.
That's, but I probably just wouldn't insist on the dating advice that she'd obviously bring.
No. It's quite an investment, isn't it, to put that in?
Well, that's the other thing.
It's a bit of a faff to take it out.
And then to take it out, there's probably a few tons worth of earth that you'd have to put in there.
Yeah.
So my actual thought is to put in a sunken greenhouse. But the trouble is my mum introduced my 2-year-old niece to it. To the trampoline, and she obviously loved
it's fun Uncle Tom's house.
Yeah, trampoline, sometimes said quite explicitly. Okay. And so my mum's like, well, you can't get rid of that then, can you? She loves it.
Yeah.
So that's that. So I'm stuck with it now. But I've sort of tried to make it a bit more complicated with the sort of country garden aesthetic around it.
It's sort gorgeous. Of and the urn?
The urn I bought online without considering the measurements.
Okay.
And when it arrived, I thought it would be like a medium-sized urn.
Yeah.
I don't know how urns come, really, but anyway.
Oh, that's a country house urn, isn't it? That's
well, we did the tour of Buckingham Palace. It's the same size urn.
Okay.
And, okay. So, but when it arrived, I just laughed because it's obviously so epic. It's so kind of outsized. Yeah. The longer it's been here, the more I've kind of grown to love it, really.
It's wonderful. What the camera can't see is the acres you've got that way.
Of course, that's where...
Down to the ha-ha and the...
And the deer and the, yeah. Of course, some pasture.
Just beyond the tennis court, you've got all that. And the avenue.
That's the thing, the avenue. Yes, all those things I'd like to have.
Really. There. Look off into the rolling hills.
People don't realise the Bromley.
Of Bromley.
don't know about how much land there is in Bromley.
It works very well.
People just have a modest sense of my life, but it's the truth. Yeah. Here. Just that, you know, and then the home farm, of course, just at the bottom. Very high castle of me.
Yeah.
Yes, we're actually digging up our own pyramid. just like the Carnarvons did.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's kind of got pretension rather than grandeur, but pretensions to grandeur, which again, I think Maggie Smith would enjoy.
Mm.
Some sort of very frightening sounding plane going over.
Is it a drone?
I don't know. It does sound... I don't know what that is.
A massive mosquito.
I think it might just be the planes coming into Biggin Hill. I'm amazed.
What's that? Is that a...
It's an ex-RAF base, which they've turned into an airport. And
it's handy.
Oh.
For the PJ.
I can basically walk to my own PJ that way.
Yeah. You don't have to go anywhere for work. You're here.
If I need to go anywhere...
Fly you into the studio.
I just pop onto the PJ.
Yeah.
And in my PJs.
In your PJs.
And then
little bounce. Little bounce on the way.
And then I'm basically there. It's a very convenient setup for me. That's what I say about suburbia.
This is amazing.
What is ironic is there's been a lot of complaints about the ULEZ, not to drag you into my suburban world.
Yeah.
The ULEZ, the ultra low emission zone.
Yes.
Which, of course, we must do more to clean the air. You can't have an old car.
Yeah.
The trouble is, people around, if you go further out to this, people don't have public transport so much.
That's right.
And they might have an older car, but then they were being punished for the ULEZ.
Of course they were.
But then they had a private airport over their heads. Yeah. So I think they were a bit like, well, make up your mind. What do you want me to do? So there was a little bit of upset. And
I bet. What has it resolved? Did you wade in?
They took to protests.
Yeah.
In the form of spray painting the cameras bright pink. You'll still see the remnants.
Right.
And on one occasion, Blade Runner style, they went through all of the road along here, chopped down all the traffic lights.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how they thought that would it wouldn't make their case particularly well known.
No, but that happens. That happened in, we have a house in Streatham. And that they love digging up the roads and making things one way and putting in a cul-de-sac. And
they've done a lot of that.
A lot of that, right outside our house. And there was a camera stopping people from going through the road, which for generations people have driven
through.
So they put a camera to make sure they got all the people who were annoyed. And suddenly that camera was defaced.
So
up went another camera to get the camera.
Dystopian.
It became like a sort of, well, now we need a camera to face that camera. By the way, you're paying for it, but we need this camera.
That's the other thing.
To make sure we can see the people that are vandalising this camera.
Oh, my. It is very... The thing is...
But I think it was a pandemic.
That's right, and they did it in the pandemic, and people got overwhelmed, and people said, they've done it in the pandemic, so people don't... People got angry.
It was a tricky time.
It was a difficult time for all of us.
And we all started gardening. When you gardened?
And do you know what? That's exactly the time I started gardening.
It's because it's when I gardened. Is it?
Kind of a bit, actually. I mean, I don't have a car, so I very happily escape any of that that irritation, although I'm aware of it. I'm aware of both sides. I like to pride myself on.
Who drives the Bentley? Is that...
That is... We have some...
Simpson. Was his name Simpson? No.
I never know his name. he's new with us. He only joined 2 or 3 years ago.
He's very nice. But he did look like he was getting cold and wet.
Well, he wants a job. All right. A job. I didn't tell him to become a chauffeur. Anyway.
Sorry, we joke.
Yeah, we barely use him. What with the planes? Yeah. So yeah, anyway, he's lucky. He's lucky. To be honest, yeah. He's holding on by the skin of his teeth for that job. We don't need him.
Should be grateful.
Should be grateful when we've got the PJ.
Yeah.
And
the trampoline.
And the trampoline. We don't need.
No.
But the... I can't remember. Yeah. So, yeah. So, suburbia.
Suburbia. Yeah,
suburbia.
Gardening.
Oh, shit, yes. The theme of the podcast. No,
that's why you got into it.
So that, for me, yes, I find it a calming place where I'm not looking at my phone screen. I'm not worrying about... I'm not getting caught up in that kind of... We're in a very divided time, I think.
You find it calming.
I find it calming to just be out here. Alfie says to me, when you're in the garden, everything's fine. When I'm on my phone, then I'm like, oh, well, so-and-so is doing such and such. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Why aren't I doing that?
Why aren't I doing that thing?
I want to do that.
Do you want to do that thing? Well, I didn't know I wanted to do it until I found out they were doing it.
Well, that's nice. That's comforting. You're saying that, and that's comforting to others.
Well, of course, you're an actor.
Because we all feel like that, don't we? So it's nice to hear someone else say that.
Actors, I think, are very susceptible to that sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, which is why we were quite good in the pandemic, because... We weren't getting the jobs, which is usual,
expected, yes.
But no one else was getting the
jobs. Well, expected because of the pandemic, yes, yeah.
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 No one else was getting them, so it's like, oh, this is just normal life.
Finally.
And I spend most of my time with my wife anyway.
Yes.
So that wasn't new.
Oh, yes. So for you, it was a kind of nice time.
I wouldn't say that, but we could handle it probably better than most. I did garden.
I was going to say then, so did you do some gardening at that time?
I did. I didn't find it calming. I find it good distraction. Like, there are jobs to do.
Yeah.
And if I'm doing the jobs,
yes,
then I'm not stressing about other things.
Well, that's exactly
sort
what
of calming?
That's exactly the same experience I have.
But I'm not very good. I'm not very good with flowers, and I'm better with food. I'm a real foodie.
What you like to grow? I love food.
I love cooking.
Oh, you love cooking is your thing.
And so I grew a lot of food. That's why I like your Komodo. I love all that. So I would grow a lot of food.
And then do it on the...
it on there, yeah.
Lovely thing. But that, to my mind, is like the dream, that sort of Felicity Kendall dream life.
Yes.
The good life.
Yes.
Of being able to, as I imagine Nigel Slater does.
Yes.
And I don't know
that's a calming presence.
That's a very calming presence. I often talk about my... Oh, Maggie's not happy. Maggie's not
happy. Back to me.
Back to me. Why are you very stupid chefs? Nigel Slater pottering about, very much a potterer, I would say.
Yes.
Who has his fern garden and his...
I mean, I'm...
Spend a whole half an hour. He could spend half an hour with a tomato, couldn't he?
That. Yeah. And then writing about it beautifully.
Oh, in his Japanese...
Oh,
gosh, you're getting dripped on. We did try and do that before. I did say it was refreshments were included.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Rainwater's the best water.
It's
the best water.
Good Bromley water.
Yeah, you can't get better than that. Very clean air.
Very clean.
Very clean air. We've got the units.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember what I was saying. Yeah, Nigel Slater. Oh, tomatoes. And those people...
What got me started on it?
Oh, yes. If anything, you're more focused than I am.
On the food?
Yes, yes.
Was Dan Barber. Do you know Chef Dan Barber?
No, he's not Dan, one I know, right, I don't think. Right. Not yet.
Blue Hills Farm, outside New York City, where I spent a bit of time.
We've spent a lot of time there, don't you? Yes.
He started doing the... He's in one of those Netflix shows that's... The Chef's Table, episode 4 or something. And he talks about how... The food, everything is, you know, on the farm. Well, let's look at the soil rather than the produce.
A lot of chat about this.
And it makes so much sense. And you've got the chickens eating the seeds, which then crap, which then the flies come out, which then the chickens eat, and then the cows. And everything's connected.
The circle of life.
I love all that.
I like that a lot. I find the idea of it wonderful.
Yeah.
The execution of it,
yes,
almost impossible.
Yes.
Do you...
So that's that when you're an actor and you grow a vegetable patch, you've then got to hope you don't get a job because...
Oh, and by the laws of the universe, that means you will get
a job.
You
get a job and then you come home and it's all gone to shit.
Dead,
Yes, which is what happened 2 summers in a row, so now it's gone.
Oh, so now you don't grow any vegetables?
Now it's gone and the pigs destroyed it. I got some pigs in.
Hang on a second.
Got some pigs in.
Wow, that's... I mean,
one of them was called Lin-Manuel Miranda. one of them, the kids named them.
Of course, and they love writers of musical theatre.
They were great, and they are still delicious. I can't remember the other one. I can't remember. No, they weren't all musical theatre based.
Rodgers and Hammerstein? Yeah, that would be good names for two pigs.
Maybe.
Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Because Ham.
Oh, yeah. That would have been good. You got two pigs?
We had six pigs.
It's a lot of bacon.
Yeah, it's a lot of bacon.
Four pigs worth.
Well, we did it for other people as well. And a local chef, Mark Hicks, he was running a pub. This was in the pandemic.
Yeah.
We came back from New York. I was out there, I was doing Broadway.
Yes, of course, My Fair Lady.
And we came and we moved in
yes.
with my parents, basically, in the middle of nowhere, in the countryside. And it was great. But we needed a bit of city, so I bought a big green egg and a Peloton. And we're going, this is going to be fine.
Yes.
And then Mark Hicks buys the local pub.
What great news.
It was fantastic, because we were going, and we were like, well, we can order out, and we can get,
Yeah.
And then we grew him some pigs.
So that was like a quid pro quo?
Kind of.
It was, wow.
And they were great. They're great animals.
People say they are.
They're very clever. They would escape and they got ill. And I had to inject. A pig is either alive or dead, is what they said. Right?
Well, I think that's for most animals.
No, but it's not going to limp around for long before it dies.
Okay.
And then there are these things. So we had to inject. I had to give it antibiotics, but then you can't kill it and eat it for 6 weeks. So you've got this terrible thing of curing a pig of whatever's wrong with it, and then trying to keep it alive for 6 weeks so that then you can kill it.
Yes, it's a strange. Actually,
it's a weird
setup, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so you
but
did
I got
that?
Passionate about keeping this pig alive long enough so that then I could. Kill it.
I mean, that's the truth of it, though, isn't it? I mean,
it got pretty weird in the pandemic.
Yes, we all got weird. But then,
and then
a lot of people eat ham, bacon.
Yeah, they do.
Which I know people say is your surname as well.
The ham and bacon.
Ham and bacon.
Yeah, Haddon that's what Payton. I tell people if they can't pronounce it. Ham and bacon.
Ham and bacon. Haddon Payton.
So yeah, that was my gardening, and now I'm scared of investing all that time and effort in the garden because a job will come along and ruin it.
Well, I feel like there's ways to go with, I mean, firstly, to, as they say, circle back to the pigs. What an extraordinary thing to do. What a great use of the garden to try some pastoral farming.
They're amazing.
Oh, quite extraordinary.
And they're very clever. Everyone says they're very clean. I didn't find them clean.
I was going to say,
but they were clever. They would follow you around.
Oh.
They like to polo.
Oh, that's nice. Because they do eat anything, don't they?
Yeah, pretty much. But they were rather good. Companions for a bit until they weren't, but they still are in a way.
That air-dried ham is very last a lifetime. By the way, if you're enjoying our little garden chat, don't forget you can watch all episodes of Pottering on my YouTube channel at Tom Allen, or if you prefer, just carry on listening on your podcast app whilst you potter about yourself. We'd love to keep you company.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And so you know my wife.
Very well.
You trained with my wife.
Rebecca and I, Becky as I always call her.
That's right.
But Rebecca Knight. We have known each other since the National Youth Theatre. Yes. More than 25 years, 20, ago. 25 years.
A minute. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like a minute ago. But
she said you had a strong sense of who you were even then.
I was weird then.
You had a briefcase. And
I was very odd, yeah.
You
know what as well?
How wonderful. I wish I was so confident in my... That's probably why you're not an actor. Because you weren't trying to be someone else. You were just...
If anything, that's true.
Yeah.
As you say, the irony of it was, I think I thought I would get laid.
Okay.
You know, this kind of experience of going to the National Youth Theatre, I thought, you know, I'm going to meet other people the same age as me.
Brilliant.
It's going to be full of gays.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah, a few of them.
A few not interested in me. Or
was it the briefcase?
Do you know what? A briefcase can really put off a man.
What was in it?
Well, of course.
Mystery.
Mystery.
Secret.
I don't know what was in it, actually. That's a good question. Yeah, my wallet. It was probably before phone chargers.
But what a year it was.
What a year.
National
what a time.
Youth Theatre. You had a Smithy, and you had...
Matt Smith was the same time.
Rafe Spall.
Rafe Spall, yes, absolutely. The Treadaways. Luke Treadaway, Harry Treadaway. And...
George Rainsford.
George Rainsford.
Yeah.
And Ben Rob Aldridge, Osler, Ben
Luke,
Aldridge.
Luke Norris.
Luke Norris, people all working. Dan Ings.
Ingsy.
Who was in The Crown. Not the same
series. Yes, he was.
First series.
Yeah, he came in later. Second series.
Second series. It blends into one a bit.
Yeah.
But,
great
series.
He's having a great series.
It's
still going. I think it's still going.
Are they still doing it?
I don't know.
My theory is, are they going to overtake the present time and then it's going to be like everyone's going to be robots?
Well, exactly. And
that would be fun, wouldn't it? The Crown Robots.
That'd be fun. Do we think we've got another Andrew series coming up? Possibly.
I imagine of late those scriptwriters have been those typewriters have been going like...
We had two at the same time, didn't we? So there's probably another.
Oh, yeah.
Sequels. Anyway.
I'm sure there is. I don't know who will play the Queen at that point. The later Queen.
They've all done it.
They've all done it. I think that's the problem. Yeah. They need to hurry up a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because...
get Maggie back.
Maggie would have been great. Yeah. What a shame they didn't get the skates on. Well, there's a lesson in that. But
did you like your time at National Youth Theatre?
Yes, I did, actually. I did. Yeah, I did. I think what was nice about it, and thank you for asking, actually. I think what it represented to me was finding people who were a bit like me.
Yes.
Or who would get my sense of humour, or would get...
Your tribe.
The idea of being funny or being quirky or being different. It wasn't something that perhaps at school there's a sense of, not always, but there could be a sense of, why? Why are you behaving like that? Why? And you always have to kind of slightly contain yourself to be what they... Did you find that at school as well?
I found a drama school, I've definitely found... Oh, I could breathe
because
this was my tribe. I felt like
and
it was the first place I'd been where I was into the work.
Okay,
you know, I'd been.
Yeah, you're not going to feel that if you're, you know, working in a garden centre or something.
No, but even at school, I was like, I want what's shiny and what's that, and more like I was more of a sporting person. But getting to Lambda, I really wanted to work and I wanted to study, and I was surrounded by people who were the same,
which is a lovely
from very different worlds.
Yes, for sure. That's the National
Everyone
Youth Theatre experience.
Everyone from different walks of life, but all kind of linked by this thing. It was, it was wonderful.
You had a nice year, I think, from...
At the Treadaways.
Oh, those Treadaway
boys. Rainsford and Hugh Skinner.
Hugh Skinner, who I met only through you guys, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember. At your wedding.
At my wedding, which you compared.
Which I compared. You see, I'm available for weddings.
Yeah.
And
are you still?
Actually, I'm not.
Wipe that. I did one wedding.
One wedding that one time, and that was fine. That was fine. I enjoyed it. That was a lovely wedding down in Cornwall.
Yeah.
And we had a lovely drinks party after the ceremony. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And on a lovely balcony. Where that was in Cornwall felt like very rural there, very kind of out in Bodmin.
It was in Port Isaac. It was which is now Doc Martin World and Fisherman's Friends. It was the Sea Shanty
World.
So it's now you can't move for tourists and buses. And
I remember when I was on tour down that way,
yeah.
I booked into a very fancy hotel a little way along the coast in near Newquay, actually. And...
Of course.
I booked it very fancy, and I took my mum and dad, as I was at the time, and I said, you might like it. Yeah, well, anyway, I ended up saying, I've got the spare room at this hotel. Why don't you come and join me? They were like, okay. They did not care for the trendiness of, I'll say, the Scarlet Hotel, if you know it.
Okay.
Very trendy, very chic, hot tubs on the cliff top.
Oh, wow, okay.
Sauna powered by... Dreams.
Yeah.
At one of those ponds that you swim in that's also a swimming pool and it's fine.
Yes. We follow him.
All of that yoga on the balcony, everything very lovely. Mum and Dad, no thank you. absolutely hated it. Couldn't find...
Where's
the kettle sort of thing. Yeah. Walked in, my dad walked in, I remember, and a man came up to him and just said, hi, welcome. Would you like to have a hot drink? And my dad was like, no, I want to check in. I've just arrived. But...
amazing.
Yes, it was amazing. It was amazing to me to behold.
Yeah.
What they really wanted to do was go to Port Isaac and see the place where they filmed Doc Martin at the surgery. And they stayed in the schoolhouse.
The fudge shop.
The
pharmacy that's actually a fudge shop.
And they loved that there. They loved it.
Yeah. It's worth visiting off peak.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Definitely.
I mean, that must have been a jammy job. You'd like one of those, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like a Martin Clunes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Well, he produced, his wife produced it.
Oh, my goodness.
You imagine one that
they've got, and they've got
fun. What shall we do?
Oh.
Cornwall, over the summer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Stella, everywhere in the world. And you can, I bet they've got pigs in their garden. Yeah,
they do.
I think they do have, like,
they do. They're not far from me, like, my parents in Dorset.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lovely people. Lovely
people. My parents.
No.
Horrible. You've met them.
I've met your friends. They are lovely.
Yeah.
But and the Clunes's is.
Yes.
I met Martin Clunes for the first time at the TV Choice Awards.
Okay.
And you weren't there that... I don't know if it's an award you go to often.
No. I don't think I was there.
I don't think you were there. And
definitely wasn't there.
Someone fell off the stage, actually, but I wasn't sure if they were seriously injured, so I couldn't make a joke of it, so we sort of had to carry on whilst the ambulance... They were fine. I think they were okay.
Still,
I don't know.
They're still with us.
They're still with us, and that's the main thing. But Martin Clunes was there.
It was he. I met him. It was my first job.
Really? Oh, on Doc Martin?
On Doc Martin. But not professionally. Oh. During drama school, I was there. I was down there for the summer. I was summering. And they were filming. And I got 50 quid for being an extra.
That's a good education.
It's a good little learner. And they brought me in. I had a shaved head at the time. And
all
they said,
we
need a Joe Absalom body double.
And that was you?
I said, I'm your man. And I had to drive a car. And I had Martin in it, and lovely Stephanie Cole.
Oh.
And I was all sort of, well, I'm at Lambda, and blah, 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 blah.
I bet and she they, loved that, and, Stephanie Cole,
and
didn't
she? She loved it. Mm. Martin was, I didn't do drama school, I'm, you know, lovely.
Lovely,
but had nothing to give. Mm. And I had to drive a car. I had to drive the Lexus.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I had to drive it. I had to drive it being towed. It was being towed. It was a high stakes storyline. The car had broken down.
That's exactly the sort of thing.
Sort of stuff we want, right?
Absolutely. That's what people don't want to watch it for explosions.
No.
It was being towed. It
was being towed, and I had to drive it. Mm. And the director was quite specific. What we want is the line to be taut when it's being towed. I'm like, okay, but I'm going downhill, so I'll just feather the brakes. And they said, yeah, but the line has to look taut because it. I said, okay, I got this. At no stage had they asked if I could drive. No one had wanted to see a driving license. It was just off you go. I could.
Okay, fine.
Anyway, action. The front of the Lexus comes off. All over the road.
What?
I'm out. Like, what? Stunt driver, get the stunt driver in. And that was it.
What? So what happened in the front? What, you crashed into the...
I kept it taut. I kept it too taut, if anything.
Oh,
was,
and it pulled
too,
off
I was too good at
grill.
My job. And the grill... was over the over Rosehill Road in Port Isaac.
And that was the end of your interaction with Stephanie Cole?
That was it. I was quite replaceable. I was pulled out, the stunt driver put the boiler suit on.
And away.
I think you couldn't tell that it was not Joe Absalom.
And, yeah.
But I could.
But did they put you on another duty or were you gone for
I was
production?
Then, yeah, I was then crowd member of the crowd the Village Fete. Filming as if it was the summer, but it was freezing. That sort of thing.
Oh,
so they put
like
me in shorts
that.
And a t-shirt
like
in the rain.
Yeah.
And went.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely. Oh, well, that's good,
so
good training.
It was quite good training. I only did a day.
You didn't go back?
I didn't go back.
I think being an extra is often looked down on, but I think probably it's a good experience for anybody wanting to be an actor because you'd learn all the boring bits of
I think so.
Filming.
But no one goes back for more than, at least friends I've, so, and Downton, because it was on forever.
Mm.
Everyone, it was all a big family, a lovely big family.
And that does get said a lot.
It does get said a lot, but it was. Mm. And it was the one job where you could go, can I bring a friend in?
Oh, that's nice.
And they'd go, sure, let them deal with it. And I'd go, great. And so my best man was my real best, who you will have met.
Yes, of course.
Was my real best man on Downton Abbey.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah,
cute. It was
very,
very cute.
Nice.
And a lot, my sisters in the film... My sisters are sitting behind me in the beginning of the movie in Richmond Theatre. We filmed it.
Oh,
When Dominic West is on the stage, yeah, doing a bit of Coward.
Lovely bit of Coward.
And my two sisters are sitting behind
me. Oh, that must have been lovely.
It's great, yeah.
And makes those days...
But they didn't want to come back. My point is no one wanted to come back.
Oh, I love that.
They got
Can
the 50 quid, but they still went... It was a long day.
Well, I was going to say, it makes it fun on a long day for you, but yes, maybe...
For me. But occasionally it was, right, Harry, you're done, you can go home. And they go, oh, and then my sisters would get up and they go, no. We need you for the crowd shot over there and the crowd shot over there.
They go, okay. This is shit.
This is a bit shit. Yeah, they realised quite quickly. But it was a bit like when I started Downton and was very keen. Everyone else had been doing it for a few years. The big crowd scenes.
Oh, my, yeah.
I was excited and a bit like an extra, wanted to see how everything worked. But I would get usually Laura, who played Lady Edith, would be Harry, or Alan, who played Branson, would just grab me and take me and say, Harry, let's go in the corner. I would say, why? But the camera's pointing over there. Let's get over there. He said, no, we want to be in the corner because then they can get us once and then we're not in the scene. We'll shoot us out.
Very wise.
Well, yeah.
But
day one, it was a bit disappointing. I want to be in the back of shot there, I want to be in the back of shot.
Presumably, then you'd have to come back every day to do those.
Yeah, well, you're then there for the whole day.
And I saw some of the outtakes of those, not outtakes, but the kind of behind the scenes footage that they were showing of that army of extras they had for the race course scene in the film that kind of endless.
Yeah. Like, you have to be there. You were there all day. Are you a musical theatre fan?
Oh, Harry, please.
Go on.
That's my next. Well. You know, of course, I love anything, but at the end of the day, I think I would have been good with a...
Thénardier.
I'd like to be Thénardier, actually.
Yeah, I could see that. Or
the old priest.
Pissin.
The old bishop.
Pissin? Pissin Inc. That guy. Pirelli.
Oh, in Sweeney Todd.
Oh, that's Sweeney Todd. See, I'm not a musical theatre guy.
Well, you are, though.
Well.
Tony?
I'm Harry. Yeah. It's Tony.
My Fair Lady.
Tony. Oh. Yes.
On Broadway. Must have been fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was super.
Hopefully, you got the right songs in it.
I didn't slip into Sweeney Todd. Yeah.
Consider yourself. Oh, very similar.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Was that fun to do?
It was amazing.
Water drip from
it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was.
That's great. No, you don't have to go on.
No, it was 18 months of my life on Broadway.
Yeah. Nice. Nice to work on Broadway, I imagine.
It was very cool. Well, I'm told if you're in a stinker, it's horrible. What's amazing is that it's an island of people who know what's going on in the theatre.
They love it, don't they?
It's so condensed. Everyone loves it.
And everyone goes, don't they?
And everyone goes. Everyone knows what's on. Everyone sees it. Everyone's a Tony voter. you've got to be on the whole time. But they do those sort of things properly. They do. And My Fair Lady hadn't been done for 25 years.
Oh,
you know,
right.
It was sort of, it was Rex, and then it was Richard Chamberlain, and then it was me. So it was pretty amazing. Epic,
but a hugely successful production to be in. And
big, successful production. It was on the Lincoln Center Theatre, which is the Olivier here, I guess, at the National. It's that sort of size. We had 30 people in the orchestra, which is unheard of. We had, a chorus of 30. And it was amazing. And I auditioned here.
Is that right? They auditioned you, so you didn't even have to go over at that point?
Audition here is one of those auditions where, like this happens all the time, doesn't happen all the time, where they were videoing it and Bart, the director, worked with me. It felt like a rehearsal. It was amazing. Oh. He worked with me a bit, and then at the end of it, he said, can everyone leave the room?
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
It's going to kill me.
Yeah, it's going to kill me. And he said, come and sit over here. He had a little bowl of M&Ms. And he said, turn the camera off. And he then sort of said, I think this could work. And I go, okay. But we're going to have to put you past the estates of Lerner and Lowe and all these big legal people.
What could be more fun than auditioning in front of a team of lawyers?
Great, exactly. And the descendants of the people who wrote it, you know. And so he said, we're going to have to get you over to America and we're going to have to audition you with other people and put you through the whole process. In my head, it was just... Sounds like a free trip to New York.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be thinking. Like, a
business
holiday,
class flight.
Like
this. This is going to be fun.
Oh,
so then I did. I went over to New York and very awkward on the check-in with the other actors going in for the.
Oh, they're all
with our suitcases going. All right,
hello.
Mate. All right.
Hello, Hugh.
No names. and it was. But anyway. Oh. It was amazing. It was terrifying. And
how, and so the process there, was it protracted? Was it, did it take a long time?
No. And this is what I love, is that with the good directors, they know. Sometimes the audition process now is you have to do 12 pages of dialogue that you know someone, because you have taste, is going to look at the first 3 seconds and go, they're not right, or they're not, you know.
But, sure, yeah.
But a video, a self-tape takes 3 hours of your time. Anyway, I don't love it. But this was in the room with the actress who was already cast, with probably about 25 people.
Wow. Intense.
And I did the scene, I did a little song. As I walked in, there was a chair in the middle of the room, and they said, well, let's do the scene. And I said, seated. And they said, well, how are you like? I said, I've learned this. So I picked up the chair and went, lazy. Because the previous actor had obviously just done it seated. And that got a little laugh. That broke the...
Very...
Humour
can open a lot of doors.
Yeah, it was risky, because sometimes... Yeah, imagine if they didn't work. Human auditions does not work.
and especially if they have a different sense of humour, potentially. Yeah. That is a very brave thing to do.
Which they do.
Yeah, right.
They do over there. But you can find yourself saying things like, oh, shut up. And they go,
oh.
Sorry, did I offend you? No. Okay. But it was great. It was that audition. Then they said... mortifyingly, they said, just wait here. Wait outside the room. The director said, just wait out here whilst I go and talk to them. And I was like, oh, it's going to happen now. He's going to bring me in. But then he came out and he said, we'll be in touch. And I went back to, I literally walked back to my hotel room, hadn't slept, jet lag, and the phone rang as I got through the door and I had got it.
Wow.
Which was cool.
How cool is that?
And then started a process of workshops.
Yeah, of course.
I think I did 2 workshops right there again. I was in New York for 2 weeks at a time working out what this thing was.
Of course. For a new generation.
For a new generation.
And making it make sense.
For the Me Too movement, which was...
Of course, yes.
Just coming along at the
making it fit with that time.
Which was great, actually, because it fitted more with what George Bernard Shaw had intended. A sort of equality between Higgins and Eliza. That, you know, if you think of recent productions of My Fair Lady or Pygmalion, it's been a much older man and a younger girl. It's a bit creepy.
Yeah, that's true. There's a few of those. I mean, yeah.
So we were trying not to be creepy.
No, what a perfect piece of casting, yeah. I think.
That was fun.
With you doing it. Yes, we were saying that about Sacrilegious, really, but The Sound of Music's a bit like that as well, in a way. I mean, they're not too different in age, but...
Can be.
She is working for him.
Can be. She's working for him. And he's... He's got 20-year-old children.
And he's, his children are the same age as this nun who's come along. Yes.
Yeah.
Quite a big, age spread for the kid. Anyway, it's a lot. But,
who are we to?
Who am I?
They're of their time.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly it. But how extraordinary as well.
Shine a light on today.
Exactly. Indeed. And I think what an amazing experience that must have been.
It was amazing. And it was... Have you spent much time in Manhattan?
I've spent a bit of time
there.
Yeah. I've spent there.
I mean, I love it. We spend much of our lives there. But it's intense. I remember spending like 6 months of rehearsing, then in previews for a whole month when you're rehearsing in the day and doing the show in the night. And then you perform, you open to the press, and they like it, and you go, that's great. You can relax for like a week. And then the Tony voters come in and you've got a month and
then
of
it's
people
something very
judging
panicky
you
again.
And it's panicky.
Yes.
And that process was about 6 months. And I hadn't left Manhattan. And I remember just buzzing, like with children that wouldn't sleep through the night.
Oh, yeah,
it was in
Your kids would have been younger.
Intense.
Yeah.
And eventually someone said, you need to leave the city. Come out of the city.
Go to the Hamptons.
Well, I went up to the Palisades, which is just 20 minutes out. And I sat on the balcony as this friend went to get me a coffee. And when he came back, I was crying. But I wasn't emotionally crying. There were tears falling down my face in some sort of weird physical reaction to silence.
Wow.
Yeah. It was so weird.
But what an intense... Because you must have had such an intense time.
Yeah.
And
there's
everybody
a noise.
Comes...
There's like a constant noise, which...
Louder than even here.
But you come... Which is why you live here, which is why I now try and live out of the city as much as possible, because that intensity, the hum of a city like that has a physical effect to you, which I discovered in that moment. It was weird.
I mean, that is why I love the garden so much.
Your little oasis.
Indeed. I need to go for a wee. Sorry.
Oh, go on.
I don't.
He's not all excited.
I mean, yeah.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I was really enjoying that conversation about Broadway, but I was like, you're going to piss yourself. Like the voice in my head, like, you're
going to. I'm
like,
sorry.
So I was like, yeah.
I did rattle okay. on.
And then what happened? And then, yeah.
You brought it up.
No, I wanted to hear it.
I've got about 18 months of My Fair Lady stories.
And I was like, 18 months? Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, great. Good. Yeah. Great.
And then you went to the Palisades and you cried. Okay, thank you. Anyway, that's fine.
Can you come to it? Do you wee in your garden?
No, but people say I should to keep the foxes, apparently. It keeps them off if you wee in the garden, but I don't know if that's true.
That makes sense. Do you have foxes?
No. Okay. We do sometimes.
We had a neighbour who fed them.
That's why,
and I hated it. It was so awkward, because he would feed them a chicken breast that would end up on my side of the fence.
Of course, yes.
And then I'd fling it over.
Good for you.
I didn't want the foxes in my garden.
Yeah, well, right, yeah.
And then at night, they sort of sound like screaming children. It's awful.
They are.
In pain. It's horrible.
Some local people were telling me about how badgers have been in their garden, and they can be really quite...
You don't mess with a badger.
You don't mess with a badger, yeah. Have you heard?
No, Wind in the Willows, he's kind of badass, isn't he?
Oh, that's true. Yes, of course, the lesson was there. Yeah. I've heard stories about farmers putting twigs in their, or sticks in their wellies or boots, so that, because apparently a badger, if it gets hold of your leg, it won't stop until it hears something break. It's quite vicious. So they put a stick there, so it'll break the stick, and then it'll go like, oh, I've broken something, I can let go.
I can move on
to the next thing I'm going to kill.
Wow.
But I don't know if that's true. I didn't know. Gruesome.
I love it.
That's country life. But you're used to the country. I mean, you spend a lot of time out in the country.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time in the country. Mm. That's why I love it. It's the anti-city. I like the extremes famously. Now. I like the extremes of being of really intense and then nowhere.
Yeah,
and then
nowhere. I can understand that. And I think as well, life for pretty much everybody is so intense all the time, and we're all, I always bring up phones.
Yeah.
I think that way that we're all on call all the time and people can contact us through all different mediums and it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
People are responding to emails whilst falling asleep with their phone.
I've met a few people recently in our business who don't have WhatsApp.
Deliberately. Yeah.
And I'm firstly, how have you done that?
Yeah.
Is your partner's doing most of the work here? I think there's a lot of, there are school WhatsApp groups that.
All of that.
You've got to deal with. And I'm not quite there, but I'm close.
The great thing you can do, this is a top tip.
Go on.
Maybe you've done it.
Silence,
you can
mute it.
Mute it, which I've done, and turn off notifications, which it can't understand. It's like, you need to turn on notifications, you're going to miss your messages. And I'm like, I know, hon.
I'm in control of my life.
Yeah. And then you can turn off the blue ticks. Do you know that? So you know.
Yes, I do know that. That. I'm irritating like that.
Some people have been unaware of it. But you can go, it's in the privacy settings, settings and privacy.
So you don't know when feel the need
they've
to
seen
answer
me read
the
it.
Thing. Yeah,
there's, and mine also has a bell go off as well, which is very
that's
intense for people.
It's a real toll.
It's a real for whom the bell does
not even
toll.
It's not even a, like a merry bell.
No,
it's like
no,
a,
it's very bring out your dead.
Another message.
So it's been a lot.
It's intense.
It's intense for people.
As we are.
As we are. I see. I was like,
am I right?
Oh, I say, kind of a light-hearted podcast. Yeah. You're right. We are. We call it a gazebo, but yeah.
Sorry. From where I'm from, this is just a tent.
This is just a tent. Yeah, of course. Of course. I tripped myself up with my own joke.
Yeah.
Talking about the ballad.
That must happen a lot.
Live. It doesn't happen as often as you'd think. But the, but yes, I think decluttering some of that stuff is very important. That. And also, a friend of mine has an out of office on WhatsApp. And I haven't worked out how to do it. She doesn't work on Fridays.
Will you WhatsApp me when you find out how to do it?
Be good. Yeah. I don't work. It comes an automatic message. I don't work Fridays. Please let me know or speak to somebody else.
Oh, that's great. I haven't worked that out.
No, I haven't. I will find out.
We'll find
out.
And
that would be a great tip for people. Just because otherwise we're all beholden to those little...
And it's not good for the adrenaline and those levels spike. There's a sort of a need to answer it.
Yes.
Which is fabricated. It's nonsense. Mm. Why do we need that? I'm going way analog and in life generally. And,
great.
And cooking, actually, more than gardening, is my way into that.
Yes.
Calms me down the most, I would say.
What do you like to cook?
Quite a lot. I cook a lot. Usually it's for children, so it's batch cooking. I'll spend a day on a bolognese or a tomato sauce or something. I like eating of the earth. I like eating locally and...
But all that sort of...
And seasonally and...
All that sort of, well, bullshit. Yeah. I love...
Yeah, as well. All that bullshit.
All that bullshit I'm really into, actually.
I think I basically want to do that bullshit.
No, absolutely,
If I can keep busy enough doing that, eventually that'll overtake acting and I can just do that.
Oh, you'll be a lovely farmer then. Oh. You've got that lovely coat.
Yeah.
The thing is, as well, I think for a long time I was quite dismissive of a lot of that kind of thing. But now I think it is coming into more normal life.
Also, my wife's also is like an end of world kind of.
Oh, is she a bit apocalyptic?
It's kind of, it's not far from her thoughts.
I didn't know she was a prepper.
Yeah, she's a bit of a prepper. We have like, solar panel lanterns and...
quite right. You know,
lots of candles.
In that nuclear winter, you want to have great lighting.
Exactly. It'll look good. What if a self-tape comes in? And she's got and bottled water that's now out of date.
Of course, but you'll be grateful for it.
There's quite a lot of that chat. So I think we want to be self-sustainable if we can.
Yeah. Bunker?
We've got the pigs in the freezer.
Got the pigs, of course.
We need... there is a bunker nearby.
Oh, good to know you've got one.
We've got a half an hour bunker.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, well, you
live fun.
Is that what living in the moment is?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's very present to be like, well, we could be exploded at any moment. Yeah. So
bring on the apocalypse.
Bring on the mushroom cloud. Because the sense of kind of growing your own food a bit is nice.
I think it's responsible as well.
It is a bit responsible. Like, because it's not good to...
Get your avocado from Peru.
No. And the way I fly them in as well, to Biggin Hill.
that cargo plane full of Tom Allen.
No, just avocados. I don't like to mix up anything else in case it... But I realise maybe I shouldn't do that.
There are other ways.
An avocado pear, as I was always taught to call them.
Were you?
Mm. And then...
I mean, that is correct, but... Why the need? Are there any other kind of avocado?
I think it was... I guess at one point people were a bit suspicious of them. And so they had to call them a pear to make them like... Okay. Oh, it's just like a pear.
It's less
frightening.
Less frightening. Less intimidating.
Mm. But okay. A friend of mine has given
me... nothing like a pear.
There's nothing like...
Vaguely, apart from the shape.
Yeah, the shape maybe was what it was. But then I've been given an avocado pip that's kind of got a plant attached to it. But I don't know if we'll have our own avocados anytime.
You're going to have to look after that. You need the sunken greenhouse.
I think I need a polytunnel.
Is it still alive?
As I said that, actually, I don't know if it... I think I can see a little stick over there.
I'm growing with my kids acorns. We had a bumper acorns this year.
Oh, so did we.
They've all sprouted. We're about 40 in little pots.
Take it up to...
I don't know what I'm going to do with them.
Take it up to Sycamore Gap.
It's quite fun. Now, is that vandalism? If I just fill it with it...
I'm helping. What more do you want?
Yeah.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't relocated their own oak tree to that.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Sycamore.
It was a sycamore. I think
the clue's in the name. But I know what you mean about the vegetable thing. I mean, I have a very small vegetable
patch.
Where
is it? I love to see it.
Well, we walked past it. That's how significant it was. But
modest.
Modest.
Not feeding a big family.
It depends. If you can live off maybe three cherry tomatoes and a bellotti bean, per day, you are in luck. Welcome to the feast.
Okay.
But otherwise,
okay.
But I like the idea of being self-sufficient. I kind of wouldn't mind getting rid of the grass here.
Yeah.
And just putting all...
One
big polytunnel, heated.
Yeah.
With lamps.
Yeah, with lamps.
And lamps. And
sun lounges.
Yeah, that'd be nice, actually.
That'd be great.
But I do get what you mean. I think it's a lovely way to live, and I think you're doing the right thing by... It's more nourishing, I think, food you grow yourself. That's taking time.
Yeah.
I get laughed at when I try and make a, you know, like a pickle or something, or like onions I've often put in a vinegar.
Really? Mm. Pickled onions?
I think
is
the name.
Is that?
I'm not a chef. I don't know the term.
So what do you do with that?
Eat it.
Okay. Just like...
I slice them, actually.
On a bit of raclette cheese.
Oh, maybe,
go on.
Lovely on a barbecue burger.
Yes.
Oh, you feel like a king, actually.
Yeah,
that.
You do.
See?
Yeah. What was the last thing you cooked on that?
It was... What was it? It's been a while.
I can still see the plastic on it. No.
I'd say, don't open it, because then... it's
very red. You really want people to know you've got it.
Yes, absolutely. I know, I should have got the green one. Would have blended in much better. Yeah. The man at the garden centre was like, no, this is the one you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, red one. The last thing I cooked on there, I think, was a spatchcock chicken, actually, for some friends over the summer.
It's the way to do it.
Yeah.
It is actually the best way to cook a chicken.
I agree.
Succulent the whole way through, the breast and the thigh.
Yeah. I've also got a rotisserie as well, I don't mind
You got one of them?
Don't use it as much as I thought.
Okay. No, I haven't gone that far. It's fun. It's a bit like, you know, golf or other hobbies. You can get all the bits.
Yeah. We've got a pizza plate. We nearly bought a pizza oven.
Have you got the stat? Have you got, like, the levels with a tier? I've got three levels.
Oh. Oh.
And you can in and out with the ceramic stones.
So yes, you can have like
direct heat and indirect heat.
Yes, you can use it like an oven.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all those things. And all I've really done is
chicken.
Use it as a barbecue for chicken.
Yeah.
Which I guess is ambitious in its
way. It tastes nice.
To be honest.
No?
It wasn't
not so much.
It wasn't completely cooked.
You messed it up.
So, okay. Yeah, it was medium rare. But you put it back on, don't you?
You need one of those
thermometers. Another bit to get, yeah. I did have one, it ran out of batteries. I mean, the chat I've given you today. I know, because they're those silly round batteries, you know, the coin.
It's a meter and it sits in its battery charger.
Oh, because I've got some vouchers and I was thinking about getting one of those.
Get two?
Yeah.
And then you can do like a massive leg of something and make sure the temperature's right in both ends. And...
Oh, Harry.
Yeah.
You've given me inspiration.
That's it.
You're a real
cook. Get me going on food.
If only we'd known this at the beginning.
Yeah.
No, not at all. It's been absolutely delightful to talk about all your wonderful work and your wonderful life in the garden and everything else.
Beyond.
And beyond, so thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
Travelling in from your countryside idyll our ULEZ. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank
Harry
you for having me.
Hammond Bacon, thank you very much. Thanks for pottering with me today. Why not click subscribe on my YouTube channel? It's at Tom Allen. Or follow the show on your podcast app so you're always up to date. And if you can leave a little review, 5 stars if you're feeling generous, it really helps other people find the show. Yes. Anyway, thank you. Bye for now.